I'll get this for the radio. But also, too, we want to be mindful. The children of Israel, as they came through, God did not intend for them to take 40 years to get where they were going. God's path probably would have got them there in less than a year. But they rebelled, and they refused, and they fought against God, and they fought against Moses, God's messenger, and everything went awry. And so it was turmoil and anarchy and all these things right there in the camp. And so in the middle of it all, God gave them 40 years of wandering. Now the 40 years was a type. It was a picture of the 40 days. And so God had them journey the land. Remember this? The spies went in and spied out the land for 40 days. And so they came back, but they refused to believe God. And God said, because of the 40 days, I'm going to give you a year for each day. And so he left them for 40 years. There was a reason. Always a reason why God does what he does. And normally the math always works out. And so actually what you see is Moses expired when he was 120 years old. It had to be so because the 40 years was about to go up. And Moses couldn't go in, could he? God told him he couldn't go in. So Moses had to die when he died because God already told him, you cannot go into the land. And so he said, you can see it. And he went up on the mount. He looked over the river Jordan. He saw it, but he couldn't go in it. We don't want to be that people. We don't want to just see the blessings of God and never enjoy the blessings of God. And so here, watch this. In 1 Chronicles, David is looking to do something great for God. And if we understand what our mission is as individuals and as a corporate body, is to do something great for the Lord. And so that ought to be our aspiration. You know, when people plan their life, they never plan. They never say, well, what I want to do is go down to the mission and eat free groceries and go down to the mission and get free clothes. And I don't want to work and don't want to have anything. I ain't got any ambition. That's normally not what people do. They plan their careers. They plan who they might want to spend their life with. They plan the goals and the dreams that they have, don't they? We teach them to aspire to greatness.
Yeah.
But in the Christian walk, sometimes that's not parlayed. That the believer, even the person, the brand new person, Brother Raymond, that just got saved, God wants greatness in their life.
Yeah.
God is not happy with subpar and not happy with the things of just mumbly peg in the Christian body. He wants the body to go out and do his work. Well, this is where David is. And so David is in a place God has brought him up to leadership. And so David is married a young woman by the name of Michal. And Michal, we find in one place, the word said she despised David in her eyes. And so David is doing what God wants him to do. This is where we're going to begin reading right here. He's doing what God wants him to do. And so he's got some complications in the form that he takes to do it. And then he's got some more complications at home when he gets back there. But we're going to find that God always leads his people in the way he'd have them to go. Amen?
Yes.
Now if we don't hear that leadership and we don't heed, we got to hear it. And we got to heed it. And if we do neither one of those, then we're never going to receive it and we're sure not going to obey it. And so David was a type and a picture of what God wants us to be. Now we're never going to attain to David. We're not ever going to have those things that he had. We're never going to be like Solomon and write 1,000 songs and 3,000 proverbs. We're not going to do that. But God's desire is that we understand what greatness is, not for our neighbor, not for our children, but for us.
Yeah.
What can we do for the kingdom of Christ? Well, here David is. God has exalted him. And he's exalted him because he had a habit in his life. And the habit in his life was inquiring of the Lord. Inquiring of the Lord. I'm going to show you why that's important. Look with us into chapter number. I've got to back up a little bit and see this where he brings the ark into, attempts to bring the ark into Jerusalem. I think the 7th chapter. Typically, I read this out of the book of Samuel. But I feel impressed. I thought I felt impressed. I ought to mark the page, hadn't I? In Chronicles, he's bringing it in. And we're going to see the absolutely the writings are the same. So if I don't spot it real quick, we're going back to Samuel. But I thought I had the place marked. Look with me in chapter 13. I was already there. Thought I was in the wrong chapter. And David consulted with the captain of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation, if it seem good unto you that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in the land of Israel, and with them also that are the priests and the Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of the people. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, take the reading of your word and speak it, we pray today. God, anoint it, use it, and God, illuminate our hearts with it. Fortify us. God, give us strength by it. We'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. All right, so watch it here. All the congregation said, that is a great idea, David. We're going to bring the ark up to Jerusalem. God has moved the centerpiece of the children of Israel. He's moved it to Jerusalem. And so now they want the ark there. And so David went up. In verse number 7, they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might and with singing and with harps and with psalteries and with the timbrels and the cymbals and with trumpets. And they come unto the threshing floor of Chidon. Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? David brought not the ark home to himself, the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in the house in his house for 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Now, interesting to see right here, David don't know what to do. There's a question to ask. Why is it the man after God's own heart doesn't know what to do at a time like this? And so here, if you back up a little bit, you're going to see it. We sure don't have time to read it. But Saul was king over Israel for 40 years. In those 40 years, there's something I want you to see. Fast forward a little bit. I do have this place marked. And as sure as I say that, I won't be able to spot it. But in this, the word says something about this, that they sought after the things of God because they sought them not. Look over to 13:3. 13:3, we just read this spot. And so see this. Let us bring again the ark of our God to us. Why come? For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. You can't inquire of the ark if the ark's not with you, can you? See, the ark wasn't there. That's what stemmed the whole process, is let's bring the ark here. And the word said, the explanation was they inquired not of it in the days of Saul. Saul was king for 40 years. See, this ought to raise up an eyebrow. For 40 years, Saul was king. And what are they inquiring at? What are they looking to? Yeah. And it's much like us today. What do we trust in?
Right.
Where is our hope?
Yeah.
If we're not asking God, who are we asking?
Yeah.
You go back to 1 Samuel 28, you see this quickly, and we'll find the answer. One of the answers here in the life of Saul. And so Saul, we know, he died in shame. He died in disgrace. God anointed him. God handpicked him. God used him mightily. But he left this world in a way that was not very becoming of a hero. And that's what God had made him. He'd made him nothing short of that a hero. Remember his stature. He was a head higher than everybody else. He was anointed. He was great. He was godly. He was these things. And so here he's been esteemed But we find that in his demise, the word said that they inquired not of the Lord in the days of Saul.
Yes.
When we quit asking God, church,
yes,
and we began to look to the horoscope or to the wizards or to the witches or the fortune tellers, then we're going to find ourselves in trouble. When we quit asking God,
that's right,
and say, well, it always worked like this before, so therefore it always worked this way again. We're going to find here in 1 Samuel 28, we're going to see the problem that Saul ran into. Saul is looking in the wrong place. Look at verse number 7. And then said Saul unto the servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went. So Saul is incognito. He is going to see the witch. He's going to see the sorcerer, the fortune teller. And so he's going to climb in the little dark booth and see what she can see in her little crystal ball. And that's what she's doing. She's divining.
Yes.
That word divining speaks of witchcraft. And so he said, I pray thee, I pray who? Not to God. He's not inquiring of the Lord. He's asking the woman. And he said, I pray thee, show me what I ought to do. And here the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he's cut off all the familiar spirits. See, she don't know who he is. And she said, look, man, you know, Saul's already put out a warrant against witches and against those with familiar spirits. And so I'm a little scared about saying anything. She don't know it's Saul himself. And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. And then said the woman, who shall I bring up? And he said, bring up Samuel. And so she brought Samuel up. And later on she finds out it's Saul himself. And so the whole thing blows up. But do you see, the point here is, do you see who he's asking? It's not God. He's asking a familiar spirit. He's asking a woman that deals with witchery and witchcraft and sorcery. And so here, David is fell in the same pattern, because David's king now, isn't he? That's what the word said. He's been anointed king, and he wants to bring the ark up. That's a good thing. But he don't want to bring it up God's way. And so he doesn't know how to bring it up. Why? Because all the days of Saul, they wasn't inquiring of God, were they? That's what the word said. They didn't inquire of God. It's much like America. When America feels like they don't need God, they'll quit asking God. And they'll quit seeking the Lord. And God's blessings will mysteriously go away. But when they were praying and seeking Him, then they find the way God wants them to go. We're no different from that, church. And so you see this. Matter of fact, the job of bearing the ark was the Levite's job, was it not? God anointed the Levites to bear the ark. And you'll see this in chapter number 14. We're not going to read everything for the sake of time. But in chapter 15, hold your spot right there. Now here, see this. David wants to bring it up. And he wants to bring it up on a new cart. That's nice. That's a nice pair of oxen. That's one of the best wagons money can buy. And he's thinking, we're going to bring it up that way. Why? Because we're not inquiring of God anymore. And so we just do it like we want to. God's wanting one thing. He's wanting those Levites that He anointed. God took Levites. Remember, in the beginning, God desired the firstborn. And God said, I want every firstborn unto me. Every firstborn male is mine. And so in exchange for the firstborn, you know what He said He'd do? He said, I'll take the Levite. The whole tribe of Levi will be mine instead of the firstborn. And so that's how the Levitical priesthood became what it was. God chose them, and God exchanged the firstborn for the Levite. And so the Levite belongs to God. And it's the Levite He wants bearing the burdens. He wants them toting that ark. Now that ark is like a chest, probably about the size of that table, somewhere about. And it's overlaid with gold. And it's got gold rings in it. And it's got gold covered poles that go through it. And those Levites are to bear that ark upon their shoulders. That's how they carry it.
Yeah.
They're not carrying on the new
car.
Right. I believe the long white fat light. He needs two Levites. That's them to carry the burden of God.
Right.
And so they carry the curtains, and they carry the altar, and they carry the ark of the testimony. Everything that God carried was upon two poles that went through four rings, and two men could bear it. And so God's camp literally was a portable camp. And those millions of Jews went wherever God told them, when He told them, and when He lifted the cloud, they left, and when He lowered the cloud, they parked.
Yeah.
And so that's how they knew where to go. They didn't need garment. They didn't need jelly. They just needed to hear from God.
Yeah.
God would tell them so. And they'd get up in the morning, and they would go out, and God would have a fresh supply.
Yeah.
A fresh supply of birds that they'd be waiting on. And so they had plenty to eat. And then we know that God gave them quail, and we know that God gave them manna, and so there was a constant supply of God's provision. And as long as they done it God's way, it always worked.
Right.
But in the days of Saul, they did not inquire of God. They left God out.
That's it.
And then things go wrong, don't they?
Yes.
And David's bringing up the ark, and he said, look, go down to the dealership. Get us a brand new car. Get the air conditioning on.
Yeah.
Power windows. Yeah, we want it all.
Yeah.
We want them seat heaters on the new car. A new car. And get the finest pair of oxen that money can buy. They probably got shoes on when they shop. We went out to Columbia, Tennessee, years ago. Well, that's one of the prettiest mules you ever see. Huh?
Yeah.
Mule bag. Yeah, put shoes on your feet. Not just old raggedy, raunchy looking old cows like I might have. Get some good ones. And so they got the best money you can buy.
Yep.
And it's a parade. I mean, everything's going. Fire trucks blowing. And it's the sirens that throw candy in the streets. And they bring it in the ark. But just one problem. Nobody asked God, did it?
That's it.
Nobody learned what God wanted.
That's it.
See, this is what happens. Every one of us get in a fix when we don't ask God what He wants.
That's right.
When we don't inquire of the Lord.
That's right.
And David was no example of that. David wants to do it the best way David knows how. God wants David to do it the way He wants him to do it. And so here, we've all forgot to ask God. We're going to have a great event, but God's not going to be present. And so everything's okay. God's sitting still. You know, sometimes God will sit still and let us go. Just like our children. As long as they're not going to destroy themselves, catch yourself on fire, and we'll let them stumble, won't we? And so they go and go and let them learn a lesson. Sometimes hard knocks teaches us a lesson. And so God's going to let it go. I really believe God's being patient. He's a long-suffering God right here. He's long-suffering.
Yes.
He's watching.
Right.
Not happy. Just like sometimes we're disappointed. We let our children go. Let them learn. And so they're going. And then those little oxen, that pretty pair of oxen, one of them made a wrong step and stumbled.
Mm-hmm.
And the cart shook. And that ark belonged to God. It's supposed to be carried by two Levites sitting up there. And it should. It's about to go over. So, Uzzah thought, he thought it was going over.
Yep.
He reached up, just wanted to do the right thing.
Yep.
He grabbed it to stabilize it. Mm-hmm. And when he grabbed it, that was more than God could take.
Right.
God has his limits, doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
When he reached up, the steel ark, he didn't want it. His heart was in the right place. He didn't want the ark of God to fall.
Nope.
But it's more than God could bear. And he smote him. Uzzah fell dead. The sirens went silent. The animal came to anything wrong now. What has happened? Everybody's struck. Their hearts struck. What happened to Uzzah? God killed him. You know, I don't know if you come out in the Jerusalem Times the next day. God killed Uzzah, but that's what happened. Some would say he probably had a heart attack. Some would say unexplainable death. But God explained it, didn't he?
I did.
He explained it. And it was displeased David. David knew. David was a man after God's own heart. He knew what happened. And the word said he was sore displeased. I don't think he was displeased with the Lord. I think he was displeased Uzzah had to die. I think he was displeased that things went wrong and everything went awry and everything got blowed up. I think he was displeased by that. But this is when the word said they inquired not of God in the days of Saul. So David goes back. I love this fact. I love the fact that God gives us opportunity to go back. What if he didn't give us a chance to back up? What if God didn't give us a heart that said, hey, I messed that up, Lord, but I'm going to get in the pages of your word, and I'm going to see what you said, and I'm going to regroup.
Right.
You know, they used to sing a song, it ain't my brother, it ain't my sister, it ain't my, you know, whatever, oh Lord. It's me standing in the need of prayer. That's David. He said, it's me. And the word said he inquired of God. Look into chapter 15, verse 1. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. He pitched for it a tent. David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God. You see what happens when you get out of the word? Here's a man after God's own heart. But when he got out of the word, he forgot about that part. We're forgetful, aren't we? We're forgetful by nature. And when we get out of the word, you know, I think about this sometimes. You hear things, you say, oh yeah, where's that at? And the Spirit of God brings it back to you, gives you remembrance of it. But we are forgetful creatures. And David, they hadn't inquired of God for 40 years. But David says, I've got to ask God. I've got to seek Him. And he said, none ought to bear it but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark and to minister unto Him forever. David knew that Uzzah laid in an early grave because of his disobedience. He understood this. And David gathered all the Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord and the place which he prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites, and the sons of Kohath, and the sons, verse 6, of Merari, and the sons of Gershon. That's the only three boys that Levi had. It's Merari, it's Gershon, and who was the other one? Kohath. And those Kohathites, it was their job to bear the instruments in the ark. They were the toters. They were the ones, the sons of Kohath. So look down. Fast forward for the sake of time. And he said here, verse 12, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites, sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of the children of Israel. Now fast forward, watch this. And the word said, to bear it upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. And David spoke to the chief of the Levites to point to the brethren to be singers with instruments of music, psalteries, harps, cymbals, soundings, by lifting up the voice with joy. And so the Levites appointed those, and we're not going to read all that, there's a lot of names right there for the sake of time, but they bring up the ark. And as they're bringing up the ark, you know what's happening? Everything's going exactly like God said it would.
Right.
What a concept. When we do it God's way, amen, we have God's blessing.
Right.
When we hear Him, He blesses. He puts His hand on it. And so David, what happened? They left the ark. Let's not forget about Obed-Edom and all this. There's another character we want to say something about. Obed-Edom is a side character. They just left the ark at his house. But I'm telling you, everything's going good at Obed-Edom's house now. You know why? Because God's there. And so they left it there, and probably he come home from work one day and said, what's that doing here, wifey? And wifey said, well, those men left it here, so they didn't have anywhere else. They trusted to leave it, so they wanted to leave it here.
And he said, well, my God, we'll just see what happens. And there's that holy ark that belongs in the tabernacle. That ark that God has designed of pure shittim wood. And so here it is, overlaid with gold. And so he walks by, and he's thinking after a while, things is really going better now since that ark's been here.
Yeah.
And the word said it stayed there for 3 months. I promise you, that's the best 3 months of Open Eden's life.
Amen.
Yeah. I bet his children back to right. I bet him and his wife's getting on better. I bet everything's going good.
Why? Because God blessed the house of Open Eden. He blessed it.
Amen.
He blessed it mightily.
Yeah.
And Open Eden probably hated to see it go, don't
yeah.
you? Don't you imagine?
Yes, sir.
So they moved it, and they took it, and David brought it up. Verse 25, go down a little bit and see this. The word said, the elders and the captains, I'm scanning through for the sake of time, it came to pass, they went to the house of Obed-Edom with joy. It came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks. Did you see that? 26, I read it fast, but the word said, when God helped the Levites.
Yeah.
David said later on in the Psalms, he said, I will look into the hills from whence cometh my what?
Help.
From whence cometh my help?
Yeah.
My help cometh from the Lord.
Yeah.
He figured out where his help come from. Not that he didn't know. David has run around those woods, and Saul has chased him for a long, long time. You know how he avoided him? He listened to God. And God said, go, he went. And God said, stop, he stopped.
And we know David understood all these things. Remember this?
Yeah.
Remember when he comes to Abiathar the priest, he's running from Saul. And those men have an ape. And he comes to Abiathar. Abiathar's keeping the temple. And he's like, Abiathar, you got anything in there to eat? And he said, well, we got some holy bread. We got the show bread. And he said, well, he says, how about it? Have y'all stayed in winter for 3 days? Yeah, we've done that. Then you have. And they ate chip bread, didn't they? And it's the same. David understood holy things.
We understand. Listen, if you've been in this way very long and your nose has been in the pages of that book, you understand holy things. Well, sometimes we forget. And sometimes we get lax.
Yeah.
And sometimes we think, well, God said it, but I ain't as sure he's as adamant about it as he used to be, but he still is it.
Yeah.
And so this is what he said. He understood. The word said he understood. And David was clothed. They're bringing it up now. He was clothed with a robe of fine linen. And all the Levites. Wasn't a need to make a trip down to the dealership this time. The Levites is going to carry it. Well, how are we going to do it, David? We're going to do it God's way.
That's right.
The Levites are going to tote it. Just like the Lord said. And the word said all the singers and the masters of the song, thank God for singers. We need singers. You imagine what church would be like without singers and singing?
Right.
It'd be like going to the library, wouldn't it? Or maybe y'all like going to the library. I don't, you know, don't do the library much. You thought, well, we tell, preacher, we listen to you read. We know you don't go to the library. But it'd be like the library, what it'd be. They all brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting. Let's don't leave out the shouting. When the church of God loses the shout of God, there's something missing.
That's right, brother. Amen.
God said something about this. You know, it's what happens is when we surrender the victory God wants us to have, then we lose our shout. God doesn't want us to lose our shout.
That's right, brother.
The shout is a shout of victory. It's a shout of praise, but it's also a shout of engagement. And so what happens? We see this when the armies of Israel would go in. How would they go? They would go with the shout of God.
Yeah.
And when they shouted with the shout of God, their enemies just melted their drive to do anything. It froze them, didn't it?
Amen.
The shout of God was so. Remember there was one war. I love preaching about this over 2 Chronicles 20, 21, wherever it is. Remember this place? I think it was Jehoshaphat. Go back and read it. I think it was whoever the king was. He said, we're not going to fight in this battle. You know what we're going to do? We're going to bring our instruments. And we're going to bring our song. Bring your song book.
Yes.
Bring your song book. Bring your instruments. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to shout. We're going to praise. and we're going to sing.
And they're looking at him like, are you crazy? Or are you nuts? You know, I think about this. As part of that video last night, I don't know if you noticed those U-boats carrying those men over the English Channel. Did y'all see something else do that? And so you're thinking about all of these. And of course, you can watch all this live footage. You know, or not live footage, but old footage that was recorded from World War II. And especially, my heart goes out to every one of those young men that stormed the beaches of Normandy. Yeah, because yeah. They got off a boat. And most of those men didn't survive. And you see all these young men on that boat. And they're going across. And maybe don't even know it's their last trip. It's the last time. And I don't know if the sun come up that morning because I don't know, but it was a dreadful, dreadful day.
Yeah, it was.
And so they come across that English Channel and they're basically on a death march. You know, these people thought, David, are you lost your mind? You're telling us we're going over there to fight with no weapons. We're going over there with instruments, flutes, and trumpets. Come on, how are you going to whoop somebody with a flute and a trumpet? And so the king, as I told you, whoever the king was, I'd like to reference it real quick, but time may not permit. It's in 2 Chronicles, though. You can look it up and see it for yourself. That king said, we are going. God has told us to go. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to praise God and we're going to shout.
Yeah.
And when they done that, what happened? God fought their battles for them.
That's right.
This is what David understood. He said, I wanted to bring it in my way. God wanted me to bring it in His way. And you know who won? God did.
Amen.
God did. And so when we do it His way, church, it always works. When we do it His way, it may put us out a little bit, but it's what God wants.
Right.
And so we see it here. We're no different. It's much like many instances throughout the Word, even in the New Testament where we see it, where when we resist God's perfect will, it always brings hardship into our life. It's like Moses. And so Moses sees many instances where he wants to do something different. Matter of fact, the reason that Moses could not go into the land of Israel, we didn't stop to talk about that, but do you remember why that was? Moses could not go into the promised land because God told him, now Moses has done got weary, he's done got tired of this rebellious bunch of Jews happening.
Yeah.
And so they came to the rock, and in that rock in the waters of Meribah, you know what there was? There was water in the rock. And the Word said they all drank of that rock that followed them. And that rock was who? Who was it? That rock was Christ, what Paul said. And so they all ate of that same spiritual meat. And they all drank of that same spiritual drink.
Yeah.
For they drank of the rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ.
Amen.
And so here God says, Moses, you speak to the rock. Speak to the rock.
Yeah,
and Moses got upset. Now that's a rebellious bunch of Jews. And he just pulled a staff and I put the beak on the rock, caused him mad. And his anger and his temper cost him. He never got to see the promised land because God said you didn't obey me in the waters of Meribah, and therefore you can see it, but you cannot go.
That's right.
And he couldn't go.
That's it.
That rock was Christ. That rock was smitten how many times?
Once. Once.
You'll never be smitten twice.
Amen.
That was the sin of Moses. He smote Christ again. Christ was smitten for the sin of the world. But he'll never be smitten twice.
Right.
That's what God was saying. Speak to the rock. So what do we find as we stand together? Let's stand. Brother Ike's going to come here in just a moment. What is it God wants? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Isn't it? Obedience is better than sacrifice. You said, preacher, we got a better way. There ain't no better way than God's way.
Amen.
Don't let anybody convince you.
Right, brother.
There's not a better way than His. The ways of the Lord are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Whatever He says is right. We don't even have to study on that part. That you can save your prayer time from wondering if God is right. He's always right.
It doesn't matter.
He always
is. Amen. Right. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
What a word. That's so true, isn't it? He's on the way. Always the way. Always right. Pay us to walk in His way. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Billy, for sharing that word. Bless our hearts this morning. What we got, brother?
621 in the blue.
621. We don't need no new cart. We need God's old way. Take the old path. Walk in. Hallelujah.